It's time for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And welcome in. Good weekend. Your weekend tipping off more than a kickoff this week with March Madness.
Well said,
brought
Frank.
To you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Five locations all around the valley. All your nutrition and supplement needs. Head on over there. Check out all the great deals they have. Five locations. Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank, Armando Vasquez, Phil Devine. And guys, I guess it's kind of we can kick off at the improv today a little bit. We're just going to kind of wing it and see what's going on. Lots of stuff going on.
There's so much going on this weekend. Like you mentioned, the March Madness is going on. We've got a great boxing match tonight.
Triple G, Daniel Jacobs.
Yeah, great boxing match. Chocolito on the undercard. Then we've got actually UFC on Fight Pass this afternoon. Tonight, the World Series of Fighting is on. Lots going on, obviously.
And Triple G and Armando have something in common.
What's that?
Neither one of them are very high on a certain fight that everybody's talking about.
Don't bring that. I don't want to talk about that. That's ridiculous.
Well, we're going to eventually have to talk about it. Today we're going to have to, and I'll give you that opportunity. We won't say Canelo for the rest of the show, starting Canelo now. We won't say it again, all right? But yeah, Triple G fighting tonight. Obviously, yes. The fight we all want to see, Triple G and Canelo, but we just don't see that one happening anytime in the future.
2 years tops.
2 years. I wouldn't be surprised. But you know, here's the Frank. Actually, can I say "damn it" on the radio?
I believe you can.
I think you can. Yeah.
Well, damn it, Frank. You know, last week I said I didn't want to hear anything more about this Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, and
really?
What. What is the opening story on ESPN and any sports talk show last night and this morning? Yeah, brackets are being talked about, but Floyd and Connor
came back in one.
Floyd and Connor, the talk is there. And
it's not just
UCLA
on sports
won
talk
last
either.
Night too.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And see, here's the thing is last week
I watched hockey. I mean, it's like Sidney Crosby should have had a triple.
By the way, congrats, Frank. Congrats on the Blackhawks.
Playing very well late. And
got him.
You know, glad that Scott Darling got back in ahead of schedule because Corey Crawford almost got decapitated against Montreal the other day when Shea Weber crushed a slap shot right off his head. I still don't understand how they didn't have to take him out of the game for the concussion protocol, but he was fine. So I guess we got that win, and then we rested him the next game. But there's still a concussion protocol in that sport as well. So, but
really, there is.
No,
I've not seen one. I mean,
no,
it's very lax.
They think somebody, it's not that lax.
Come on, guy's head goes through the glass. Oh wait, timeout. You know, by the time the glass is put back up, he's back out there playing.
Well, again, I know the NFL is the big concussion thing. There's former hockey players also suing the league now for concussions that too. So no, there's also a protocol in the NHL. So, no, it's out there, but no, the Hawks are playing well. Minnesota stumbled a little bit, so right now they're in first in the West. We'll see what happens, but Mal, I'll be honest with you. They're playing so damn well on the road, I don't know if I want home ice anymore. they're like Hawk and Animal. They're the road warriors.
Nice.
What a rush.
I like it. I like it.
Now, Armando, we were just talking about Floyd and Connor. And last night, let's tell everyone, last night at Madison Square Garden, which I guess it was kind of like the pregame to tonight.
Yes,
for Triple G versus Jacobs.
Correct.
And last night, Madison Square Garden, Irish fighter by the name of
Michael Collins.
And he was escorted to the ring by Conor McGregor.
He's
a friend of Connor.
Yes.
And in fact, actually, he reminds me a little bit of Connor, that outspoken, you know, brash talking individual. Last year during the Olympics, he made a name for himself, you know, yelling at the judges, flipping out over a decision, you know, taking a page out of Connor's book. Well, last night, Connor, after he won the fight. Conor was in the cage, and he had apparently gone around media row, said hello to some of the MMA people he knew, and said some other things. And then Dan Raphael from ESPN was there, and he introduced himself as the boxing guy. Well, Conor then later decided that it would be, you know, it would be in his best interest and everybody else in sports media's if he ran over to him, got in his face, and let him know and introduced himself as the new boxing guy. And Conor went on his tirade, and, you know, that's to be expected from Conor McGregor. That's what we know is going to happen anywhere he goes.
His teammate just had a fantastic knockout, and he goes and ruins it. It's amazing to me.
I love it.
Why would he do that? Why did he have to become the...
Because he wants $100 million.
He's going to get it regardless.
Well, see,
he does not need this nonsense that he's doing.
Here's where it all goes crazy, because last week I said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's not going to happen. Let's talk about Conor defending his lightweight UFC championship. But no, Dana White the other night, and as Frank just alluded to, Armando, it's not just sports radio or sports talk or sports TV. It is everywhere. Oh. Dana White on Conan O'Brien's show talks about the fact that he is not, I repeat, he is not, which for the last couple of weeks, it's been a reverse story. He has been saying that this fight's not, he doesn't see it happening. It's far from close. No. Now he's saying that he does see it happening, and he is not going to stand in the way of Conor making it happen.
Now, the one thing that I do not see happening is it happening on that June 10th date that everybody keeps talking about with the T-Mobile Arena, with the UFC having two big fight cards coming up in July and different things. They're not going to do it then. Plus, they wouldn't have time to promote it the way they want to. But just by having that date and that rumor out there, that started the talk going more, and it started everybody else going, and, you know, the domino effect. Hey, there's a date. Did the UFC put it aside? Did Mayweather's people put it aside? This happens all the time when dates are set aside for something that may or may not happen. This might have been set aside a long time ago, but once it's leaked out and everybody starts talking again, it seems like the wheels are getting greased and greased more and more. And although I have literally no desire to see it, although I'll probably go someplace and watch it, I sure as hell would not pay for it. But I'll see the freak show. I think it's a joke. But
we all do. Yeah. And that's the thing, is, and I think that's what's most surprising, is that the people who follow this are the ones that are saying, why are we doing this? Why is this happening?
The funny thing about it, though, is more and more I hear people that are starting to drink the McGregor Kool-Aid. Well, you know, he's got that puncher's chance.
He's a southpaw.
You know, he's a southpaw.
Floyd's got trouble with southpaws. I mean,
you know, he hits really hard. He hits hard with a 4-ounce glove. I don't think Floyd's going to do that. I don't think they're going to have 4-ounce gloves in the fight.
You got to be hit to get knocked out.
Exactly. You can't knock out what you can't hit. It's not WWE, okay? He's all not right. going to be jumping.
Quick breakdown.
When the fake punch goes, he's not going to fall down.
He's not going to fight at 145. He's not going to fight at 155. We have already seen that he can't knock out somebody at 170. So this fight's going to be at what? 155, maybe? 160?
Listen, see, here's the thing with that is we are in such a different realm when it comes to this. This is something that, yeah, we've had the talk before, and we've had boxers come into MMA, and you know how that goes. And we do have, there are plenty of mixed martial artists that do amateur or even professional box on the side, but to have a guy, here's the thing that blows my mind, and because I'm going to talk about this with another fight that somebody wants, and just the idea, like, they're talking about this fight taking place here in Las Vegas, and you're talking about the Nevada Athletic Commission, one of the most respected commissions there is, and they're going to sanction a fight between a guy who has retired at 49 or 50-0 against, and they're going to allow a fight to take place against a guy who has no fights, not no professional fights, no fights, no amateur, no professional, no nothing. They're going to really sanction this? Like, that's what blows my mind.
It doesn't blow my mind for one reason. Because if they don't sanction it and they let all that money go to a different city, they will be absolutely destroyed by the local and national and even international media. Really, who cares? You're so high on your pedestal that you're going to turn down the $1 billion fight, the money and the people and everything it would bring into this town? They have to sanction it.
But then you're throwing your integrity out the door right there, saying, I don't care if I put a guy who has no business being in there with the world, with quite possibly the best boxer of our generation.
His generation, but anyways.
I find it a little crazy.
Well, in the end, I mean, it's not like Connor isn't in the fight game. It's he is.
That was always what I found. I agree. They're two totally different worlds. Totally different worlds.
Well, I mean, the thing I keep seeing in my head is like, what happens when Connor gets hurt? Oh, I'm going to kick him in the shin. You know, I'm going to kick him in the knee.
Impulse. Like, right? Yeah, you go to natural instinct. Yeah.
But you know what? Cofield was talking with Adam Hill about this last week, right here on ESPN Radio, 1100, 100.9 FM. And what Adam Hill said was, and I agree with him on this, he said that even though Floyd will probably be destroying him on all the scorecards, he'll win every single round, but people will stay tuned in to see if that does happen around round 9 or 10 when Connor goes, all right, it's obvious I can't hit this guy. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to give him a leg kick. I'm going to give him an elbow or something, because you don't know what's going to happen. That's the freak show part of it. We saw Mike Tyson bite a guy's ear off, and he's an actual boxer. Who knows what the hell Conor McGregor might pull during the fight?
Yeah, exactly. It's just we're really diving into a territory right here.
He might rip off his gloves and go, okay, now let's go bare knuckles, you SOB. That's what will keep people tuned in.
Frank, what I want to see is like something straight out of Kickboxer, right, where they take the gloves off and they're just wrapped in the tape and they dip it in the glue into the glass.
Yes, definitely.
Let's do that.
For sure.
Let's do that. That's what I want to see.
Right. You guys just made my point. This is so ridiculous. Why? Why are they doing this?
Simply because of the money and because the novice fans out there.
Why do I have to look up at the TV and there he is?
That are not
dying. It's everywhere. And the TV is on here in the studio. And what is it right there? There's Conor McGregor. They're saying the whole world is going to eat their words. It's getting close.
Yep,
don't worry about it. You'll hear about it. I'm out of here.
And what's he also saying now? I'm going to shock the world. I'm going to, like, we've never heard that before, but you know what? And here is the one place that I will give Conor McGregor all the credit in the world. I actually think he thinks in his mind he can win. But if he's got an ounce of common sense, he's got to know that he's a huge underdog and that he's almost got to get lucky to win. But it's almost like he's saying, you know what? If I lose, I'm not going to get hurt. And I'm going to make more money in this one fight than I'm going to in my next 10 UFC fights. I'm going for the payday because a fighter only has so much of a shelf life. So what do I really have to lose? If he can talk himself into this, it is one of the best salesman jobs ever. We talked about Brock Lesnar getting championship fights when he didn't deserve them. We talk about Chael Sonnen, because he talked, getting fights that he didn't deserve. Conor McGregor is going to be the guy that Floyd Mayweather is going to go 50-0 with. So you're going to have every boxing purist out there go, wait, that's not official. It's not a real boxing match. But it's going to be a boxing match. So Hill's corner will say, I'm 50-0. That's the greatest ever. McGregor's talking himself into this. The circus all around it. This isn't a 3-ring circus. It's like a 100-ring circus. It's insane. It's actually stupid. But apparently the whole world wants to see the damn thing.
Yeah, very much so.
Now,
go ahead.
How does he come back to MMA?
Why does he not?
Why? How do you make... Well, you just got done saying he's going to make 10 times what he's going to make, and then...
Well, if he wants to walk away from it, he can. But that's the beauty of it. He gets beat, and he goes, well, yeah, you know, he outscored me and that, and he's really fast, and you know, I couldn't hit him, but now I'm going to go back to my world and defend my two belts. That's the thing. Conor McGregor, when they took him off UFC 200 and the card was absolutely destroyed, and then on 202, that was the card that everybody talked about.
And it outdid.
The UFC basically made Conor McGregor bigger than the sport. They painted themselves in this corner, and now they have to suck it up and deal with it. They made him this big.
That, okay. And I think that's, Frank, I think you're right. And I think that's why Dana is now reversing his...
How do you not agree with it?
It's my hatred for the guy. I mean,
he can't see past that. That's what you have to understand. Armando does not see past his own opinion. It's that simple.
Ever since I saw him walk into an arena, and the whole arena stood up and just was in awe of this man. And he hadn't done anything yet.
Armando's just like, why can't I get that kind of entrance?
I don't want it. I would hate to be in the public eye like that.
No one claps for me when I walk into the room.
I would hate to be that way. I mean, this guy just, he had done nothing. He had just knocked out Dustin Poirier. Good victory. It was nice. It was fine.
You got to listen, you got to remember, Conor McGregor got blackout treatment in his second UFC fight. Blackout treatment. That means the lights went out, his music hit, the arena erupted in his second fight, in his first fight in America. That was in Boston on the UFC's first fight on Fox TV or whatever it was years ago. It was insane.
And when they did countdown shows for his fights, it's not countdown, here's Conor McGregor in the gym and that. It's Conor McGregor driving up and down the street with Dana White in their convertible, going out to dinner, going out to bar, signing autographs. They made him the big... I mean, he did a lot of himself, but again, they gave him all the leverage. They tried to play a thing, you didn't show up for the press conference, and it completely backfired. That's why they can't say, we're going to sue you if you don't do this, or you have to defend this belt or whatever. They're the ones that put him in this position. And by the way, this organization, and we talk about it all the time, was just sold for $4.2 billion. They've had a lot of cards that have flopped. Lot of main events that have flopped. This is the biggest thing they can possibly do. They want a return on their damn investment.
You're absolutely right, Frank. And Armando, you have to one day just see past it. You have to see past your hatred.
I'm still curious to see what the undercard is. Is it going to be boxing matches? Is it going to be MMA
matches? Of course it's
going to
be.
Matches?
It's a boxing event.
It's a boxing. I agree. I think it's going to be a boxing event.
But if UFC is part of it too, are they going to have...
They wouldn't, because you're going to have it in a ring. And UFC won't put their fights in a ring. UFC is that cage, that octagon, that's branding. That's what that's all about.
No, I understand that. But
unless they had them set up. You had a ring and an octagon.
And that's what I was
going to
say. Why couldn't they do both? We've seen cards do that before. And if UFC is going to be part of this, so we're going to be part of it. We're going to sign off on this thing. And then we're just going to let Money Mayweather bring out all his prospects on the undercard or something like that. I mean, they're getting the main fight, but they're not. But they're not plugging the rest of their thing. I can't imagine them not having some kind of a deal where there's some kind of MMA guys from UFC doing something there as well. Maybe it's even the day before. Maybe they have a UFC card right the day before, leading up to it or something. Make it a gigantic weekend that way.
But
I can't imagine UFC just saying like, okay, yeah, we'll go completely boxing and have your way with it.
Well, you saw the way that the Irish fans travel, not only for McGregor, but for boxing too.
They
packed in the garden last night, the theater at Madison Square Garden.
When Ricky Hatton used to come here, he had the same thing with...
What do you think Ricky Hatton's thinking about all this? I was a legitimate big-time boxer. I came out here, got my butt kicked by this guy. I made a fraction of what this guy's making, and he was paid decent for the time. This guy who's never even boxed is 100 times bigger than I ever was? How the hell did that happen?
I'm sure you are correct. I didn't think of that.
It's absolutely insane. And you know, we're cut a little long with this, and we're going up against a break. But
the hottest topic in sports talk radio.
last week we had Vitor Belfort fought Calvin Gastelum, UFC, down in Brazil. We saw what was going to happen. Vitor on his way out. Well, Vitor has one more fight left on his contract. And just like I had said earlier about the Mayweather and Conor fight, like how does the commission allow that to happen? Well, Vitor has one fight left on his contract, and he has decided the opponent that he wants. Now, if any commission puts this fight together, They cannot be around anymore.
So he's gonna announce the opponent and the place he wants to do it.
Vitor Belfort wants to fight in his last fight in the UFC. CM Punk.
Really?
CM Punk. Okay, Frank, I know you're looking at me like I have three heads right now. Yes, this is true. Vitor Belfort has called out CM Punk for his final fight. Now, first things first, I'm not sure CM Punk will ever get another UFC fight. But if anyone sanctions this, you are just... Vitor Belfort just basically came out and said, okay, here's the deal. This is my last fight in the UFC. I want to kill somebody. I want to walk into the cage and I want to kill somebody. I want this person to be dead by the time the fight is over. So give me CM Punk.
So you're saying that after the fight, he wants to be able to say, praise Jesus, and by the way, I just sent this guy to meet him.
Right, yeah. So but Jesus, my work. Like, yeah, like, you can't do that. And if I know Vitor has been sipping the Jesus juice a bit over the years, and we know that his head's not really there. Vitor
has a glass jaw now.
He has been through the ringer. He has been through some emotional stuff in his life. Vitor Belfort's sister, years ago, was kidnapped, right. Murdered. Like, I mean, Vitor has been through some personal things, all right? He has his demons. But he is straight up saying, I want to be able to have a commission allow me to fight and murder someone. Because there's no other way that ends.
He did not say that correctly.
There's no other way that ends.
We have to step beside her and take a break because I want to bring up something else that Vitor Belfort has been talking about and get your thoughts on that as well. So we got a lot more to get to here. Yeah. Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Don't you dare go anywhere. Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. 5 locations around the valley to serve you better. Get all your nutrition and supplement needs at Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez. Coming back to a little Sin City there, AC/DC.
Actually, that's very interesting that you bring up Sin City. Vegas Discount Nutrition, at least I know their Eastern Avenue location. This weekend, their lightning sale is they are blowing out Sin City Nutrition at $9.99 for pre-workouts, for fat burners. Every store has got something different. Frank, a couple of weeks ago, we had made a joke. Hey, you know, you might only be able to get 2 or 3 of something over at one store, but go to all 5 locations. Today, everything's different in all the stores.
So well, there you go.
Today's the day to definitely
do
that.
Variety shopping with the lightning sale. Lightning isn't striking twice in the same place, but it's striking in multiple places today at Vegas Discount Nutrition. All right, we're talking about Vitor Belfort here and the insanity of wanting CM Punk. Personally, I would have more respect for him if he said, I want Ronda Rousey than CM Punk. At least she was legitimate in the fight business.
You did not go there, did you?
Yes, I just did. I'd rather fight AJ. At least he'd be fun to roll around with. CM Punk,
Hold on. Let that linger for a second.
Are you talking about AJ Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course I am. I'll do a tag team.
Brooks, thank you, Brooks.
Yeah, let him do a tag team. I'll make Punk crap himself, and then I'll roll around with AJ for a little while. But another thing that Vitor Belfort is talking about.
Frank.
I'm like, hey, I've seen horror movies that start out this way, Frank. I've also seen adult films that start out this way,
He did it in a WWE match. Why couldn't he do it in a... I think Belfort wants to make him do it in the MMA world as well.
If there's one thing we've learned from this morning is that Frank is looking for a tag team with AJ and Phil Brooks.
Actually, I don't want
Phil
to be
match?
Part of it.
Is it a match?
What's in his Coke over there? Whoa, wait a minute. The fact that you have a Coke over there is amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm getting headaches again.
Oh, okay.
But another thing about Vitor Belfort, he wants to start a Legends Tour?
Yeah.
And not a
Legends Division. He's proposing. That was his proposal. And I love the idea that when he first said, he goes, yeah, guys like Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell's been hit too many times. He does not need to come out of retirement. Like, you know, it's
like
just
him.
Yeah, it's not it's We said it during the break. We were joking. I know it's been said before, but there already is a Legends division.
Exactly.
There already is a place for you to go when you can't make it in the UFC anymore, and you still have the ability to fight. You still have the ability to draw. Your name is still there. You're a big shot.
And you're on cable TV.
It's Bellator.
Without a doubt it is.
Bellator is what would be known as the Legends division.
Yeah, everybody that's been retired in UFC winds up over at Bellator.
And not just Legends. I mean, Bellator is one of those really interesting shows because you've got their circus acts. You've
Kimbo
got
Kimbo and Dada.
Rest in peace, Kimbo. Come on.
Okay, but still.
So, yeah, anyway.
There was a freak show.
Yes, you have your matchups, which don't make sense. Kimbo, Shamrock. You know, why are we doing this? But then you do actually have some great competitors over there.
And
Michael
some young,
Chandler,
legitimate fighters that cut their teeth and build a name
and
for themselves.
You also have a lot of legitimate fighters leaving the UFC to go over to Bellator.
Because they can wear sponsors
and
do arts or other stuff.
Exactly.
They can make more money.
Rory McDonald.
If you're a lower-level fighter or even a mid-level guy in a card, you can become more of a headliner there and make more money from your sponsors.
You got Rory McDonald and just this past week, Lorenz Larkin. UFC didn't want to match his offer. Hell, he's going to Bellator. Michael McDonald, no longer with the UFC. This is a gentleman who fought for the UFC Bantamweight Championship and could not get another fight for months because he couldn't afford to pay for training camp. Now, I see why these guys are going, but Vitor needs to, like, he just needs to stop. I mean, I understand the need to compete, and look, the accolades that he has, it's undeniable. We talked about it last week. UFC 12 winner, won that tournament. Former light heavyweight champion, has challenged since he's returned to the UFC after a hiatus, came back and challenged for the middleweight title twice. Challenged for the light heavyweight title. There's no question about it. He had it. But he also had it through supplementation, so to say. You know, like
better fighting through chemistry.
Yeah, better fighting through chemistry was what Vitor Belfort was about in the later years. It's what kept him able, as he called it, the old dinosaur able to compete with the young lions. But he doesn't have that special power anymore.
Let me ask both of you guys this, because I'm curious to see what you think about it. When it comes to Vitor Belfort, why is it that the UFC is still so high on him and lets him call all the shots when this is an organization that is cutting guys and getting rid of them all over the place now, and so many media members and other people cannot stand Belfort because they think he's a phony, they think he says one thing and his actions do the other things all the time, yet the UFC seems to still just love this guy and let him do whatever he damn well pleases almost.
Well, I can't say for the new ownership, but I do know when it was under Zuffa, Vitor had an amazing relationship with Lorenzo Fertitta.
Right.
And that's what Vitor has always done. Vitor knows who to talk to. Vitor knows where his bread is buttered. I remember when Vitor fought with Affliction, Vitor was very close with the guys who were running that production. When Trump Trump got into MMA.
That's the president, sir.
That's your president. I didn't mean that. But yeah, anyway, so I just think the whole thing with Vitor Belfort and wanting a Legends division is silly. You don't need to see that in the UFC. And, you know, you can't. I know that there's a lot of talk out there and there's a lot of people complaining about UFCs and rankings and title shots and, you know, what's the point of even Joe Rogan. Even Joe Rogan went off a couple of weeks ago and saying he doesn't understand what the point of even having titles are if you're going to be throwing out super fights or people are getting interim titles all the time. You know, you're taking away the legitimacy of the actual belt. But the UFC is where it's at. Yes, things are bad right now. But when you talk to any fighter, listen, there's a World Series of Fighting card in New York tonight. If we were to get on the phone right now and call any one of those fighters on that card, they would drop that fight tonight to be able to fight in the UFC.
Oh, without
a doubt. There's no question about it.
They've been leaving all over the place. That's why one of their title fights tonight is for a vacant title that they have. And the other guys are leaving in mass exodus. I just saw an article earlier today where Ray Seffo said that basically 2017 is a little bit light in that, but look for big and bad and great things coming in 2018. And I'm looking at the headline and I'm reading the story and I'm like, wait a second.
We're in March.
2017 is light. We're in the third month of the year. And you're already throwing away 2017 is going to be a little tougher than 2018? What the hell are you?
I have to say, I am surprised that they lasted. I am, and that's no disrespect. Ray Zeffo is a great guy, but he's the front of the company. He's not the actual man behind the decision making. I don't think, and I don't think I didn't think that the World Series of Fighting would be able to last as long as it has. I mean, this is their
it helps to have a TV contract.
But even their TV contract that they had with NBC, it was paid for at first. That was paid for advertising. There was basically, if you even, and I'm pretty sure if you still watch a World Series of Fighting card, 99.9% of those commercials are going to be for things that are solely advertised with World Series of Fighting.
Yeah.
And you would not see that commercial elsewhere. So I think it's still technically paid programming for those couple hours that it's on.
And when they do that, when they have a weekend with that kind of stuff, they'll show like four or five of those cards back to back to back. But all it ever says is World of Series of Fighting 28, 29, 30, 30. But then it never says who's on them or anything. They don't promote them or anything showing that they're really on.
Yeah, there's very little promotion that they get from it. And Bellator, I do see. Bellator has Viacom money behind them. They have that TV deal.
They're aggressive.
They are. And like we said, they have got, you've got your fights that don't make sense, but then you've got some really good fights. And now we just talked about Lorenz Larkin and possibly Michael McDonald going over to Bellator. Where then
and
we also.
Any moment, Ryan Bader is going to be
Ryan Bader's another one. And these are guys that are going to make for more eyes to go to Bellator. And then you got to remember, Frank, Armando, there are people that still don't know the difference between Bellator and UFC.
Oh, there's a ton of people out there that think UFC and MMA have the exact same definition. And you have to tell them, no, UFC is, they're not the UFC is a division of MMA. They're the bigger division. That's like NFL is not football. There's college football, there's the World Football League, there's Arena League, there's the NFL is the king, UFC is the king. But there are several people out there that to this day when I'll see them, they'll be like, well, yeah, I'm a UFC fan. I'm like, oh, so yeah, and you name any fighter that's not in the UFC and they're, what do you, so you don't like MMA, you like UFC. Well, yeah, it's the same thing. No, it's not.
It's not. It's a sport. It's like we did last week, we talked about NASCAR, Kleenex. Okay, it's the brand name. It's just associated with it. You know, when someone asks for, give me a Kleenex, they give me a tissue. That's what they mean.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I think it's a very interesting landscape we have coming forward with guys leaving the UFC. And then you have Vitor Belfort asking for divisions that the UFC is never going to have, but little does he know it's Bellator. Someone who does know that it's Bellator is Matt Hughes. And Matt Hughes actually just this week talked about his desire to come out of retirement and fight again. And from what I understand already in Bellator, they are proposing Matt Hughes versus Royce Gracie 2.
Why? The first one was a complete washout, and that was many years ago. We took a couple busloads of listeners here from the radio station to the Staples Center for it. That was basically the baton being passed to Matt Hughes and Royce Gracie's going away from the game saying, I'm done. But all these guys that have been done come back in Bellator, I could almost see it if it was at least a good fight the first time. But Royce Gracie did absolutely nothing.
You know what's funny is that fight took place 11 years ago, and it was like, I feel like Royce was 11 years out of his prime in that fight.
For sure.
So now we're 22 years out of his prime.
See, I moved here and wasn't an MMA fan, wasn't a UFC fan at all. I went to the Hard Rock to see, it was a fight night, and they announced this fight. And realize, and
oh, that's when they had the doors were closed, yeah. And they had Royce come out to the
they
cage.
Had Royce come
yeah.
out, and I had no idea who he was, but I saw all the crowd lose their mind with this when he came out, and I'm like, well, this must be a big deal. Now, listen, I mean, had no idea. I didn't follow MMA until I got here.
And I'm like, Vegas does things to people.
Let
huh?
me tell you. Oh. So I'm sitting here, and the look on everybody's eyes that he walked in, and I'm like, who is this guy? So then you got to do the research. You got to, okay, I know who he is now. But everybody thought that he was going to win. And I couldn't believe that.
You know, the other thing that was funny about that card being there at the Staples Center that day, every time they showed Hoist Gracie on the cameras in the back warming up and getting ready for the fight, the crowd went absolutely insane. But every fight before that, as soon as they were down on the ground, the crowd at the Staples Center was booing and just saying, stand him up, stand him up. And I'm sitting there literally looking around like going, do you guys know who the hell you're cheering for? You realize that's exactly what he wants to do this entire... you want this... Every single fight stood up after 10 seconds on the ground, but you're all diehard Hoist Gracie fans? They didn't even have a clue what they were buying a ticket to go see.
And at the time, that was the UFC's biggest draw to date.
To date,
and it's funny that the crowd would even think about booing during that event, because I remember that event, and there was only one out of nine or ten fights that even saw the judge's decision. Every fight ended in the first or second round.
Yeah, they were quick fights, but as soon as they went down, they started booing. And the other thing about it on that card, I don't know if it was the first time, but it was certainly the first time that I remember it, where they paid a guy like Hoist Gracie a lot more money than Matt Hughes, their champion, just to basically get the passing of that baton, going, we'll pay you to get in here, but we're really paying you to get your butt kicked, because they wanted to promote Matt Hughes for the future down the road.
Yeah, that actually, one of my favorite knockouts in all of MMA was in that one. That was Spencer Fisher against Matt Wyman Matt Wyman was on the Ultimate Fighter Season 5, I think he was a member of. And before he was, Matt Wyman and Joe Lauzon were two guys that were actually in the UFC before they were on
Lauzon
the Ultimate.
Joe Lauzon just knocked out Jens Pulver.
Yeah, that was crazy. And actually, that was, I think that night, was the third meeting of Chael Sonnen and Jeremy Horn.
Oh, wow.
And Jeremy Horn, just like he did every other time he met Chael Sonnen, submitted him that night. Moving on, we do have to take a break again, because we're always up against the clock and we always ramble here. But UFC Fight Night coming up in the O2 Arena this afternoon. World Series of Fighting.
And it's a tonight. Fight pass.
It's a fight pass. Yeah, you have to have fight pass, which, like,
I do.
And I have to say, I believe it's worth the money there. I mean, especially for events like today. I think today is one of those, like, we have the top three cards, the top four cards, I'd say. Four fights on this card are phenomenal fights. They really are. You got Jimmy Manoa against Corey Anderson.
Gunnar Nelson. Alan Jobat, baby.
Alan Jobat. That's just going to be a lot of fun, and we'll talk about those fights in a minute. But just this past week, I want to talk, I guess we got a couple of minutes before we got to take a break, but UFC... down in Houston, Super Bowl weekend, three fighters on that card just came back that they tested positive for marijuana.
Ugh.
All right, you had...
That's what happens when you spar with the Diaz brothers.
Nico Price, Curtis Blaydes, and Abel Trujillo. Actually, the two first guys I mentioned, Curtis Blaydes and Nico Price, they actually won their fights, so their fights are being reversed. Trujillo lost. He was submitted by James Vick in a great fight, but...
Does it say something about me that I find a little bit of humor that a guy named Curtis Blaze tested positive for
Blade.
Oh, Blade. I heard Blaze too.
You know what? Knowing me, I
think you said Blaze. I may have said Blazes.
I may have said Blazing. I may have been Blazing. I don't know.
I think it might have been a Freudian slip there.
Probably was a little bit of a Freudian slip there. But why? Let's be honest. Why in today's sports is marijuana still illegal? Why is it considered an enhancer? Do you agree that it should be there?
One of my favorite fights, one of the fighters got his win taken away because of he tested positive for marijuana.
One of your favorite fights?
Uh-huh.
Was it a UFC fight?
No, it was
not.
Was
it a pride fight?
It was a pride fight.
It was Nick Diaz against Gomi. Yeah, okay. Marijuana, we're finding more and more. Every state is looking into medical. We've got it legal in numerous states across the country. Yeah, there's still a federal issue with it, but we know what it does benefit-wise for recovery for some athletes, for anxiety for some athletes. But is it really a performance enhancer?
Isn't that a proven fact that it does that? For
some, I mean, look at Nate Diaz. Remember Nate Diaz after his fight with Connor when he lost? And I mean, he was just sitting there at the press conference vaping cannabis oil.
Oh, you know, it was a great story afterwards. The vape that he was using, that particular smoking utensil that he had, the company that made it said that they had such a backlash of orders from everyone wanting it. They said, "We appreciate Nate basically doing this on camera. We just wish he would have given us a heads up on it," because they literally had orders for 10 times more than they had in stock. They had to make the damn things, and that they couldn't fill the orders after he was seen on TV doing it.
I just don't understand why it's still frowned upon.
Well, what I don't understand about it is, okay, if you're going to have those rules, have it. But if you're going to let people take testosterone and that, if a doctor prescribes it or something, then any place where it's the medical marijuana and it's legal and that kind of stuff, then if a doctor's prescribing it, you're giving you the card, then that should be okay too.
Yeah, I think if you have a medical marijuana license, that you should, you know, be able to smoke it. And, you know, like, that's always been the thing. Like, Nick Diaz for years has had one. I remember he had one when I didn't even think that they made medical marijuana. Like, I was, wait, you mean you can get this prescribed? What? But he's countless times. So it's something that, like, I don't understand why are we still at this stage?
Well, I don't know if it's the FDA. I don't know exactly what it is. There's always different factors. I don't understand it in football when they're prescribing these drugs that are literally killing people and just breaking down their bodies, when so many players come out and say, "Look, I smoke I light up after a game or something like that, and that heals everything and it mellows me out, and that's actually better." No, take this stuff here. They give them garbage that's poisoned from a doctor, and then they won't let this other stuff go. I don't smoke myself, but
nobody's perfect.
But
Frank.
But if you want to do it, I don't see the problem with it.
No,
you know, it's amazing when you see, like, recently this past week, it was Patrick Stewart was cited as saying that he uses marijuana every day. Morgan Freeman every day.
Oh, there's several people that
every
do it
day.
Now.
Every day. I don't know why it's still frowned upon the way it is. I think we're at a point where we know that it's not what they said it was years ago.
Well, attitudes are definitely changing. I mean, hell, I'm going to date myself a little bit here. I remember being in, like, middle school and them showing us a movie or something like that, the movie where everybody...
Reefer Madness.
Where you would literally lose your mind. Would you want somebody flying your plane after he smoked a cigarette or had a joint? And they show, like, this plane crashing into a mountain or something. It's like, really?
I remember.
I don't know anything about this stuff, but I think that's a little overboard.
Frank, just a little bit. I'm not afraid to say that I have participated in a few circles that some marijuana cigarettes were being passed around. And I remember in high school, this kid turned to me and he was like, "Dude, I smoked a joint yesterday, and there were, like, cartoon bunny rabbits jumping around my backyard." I was like, "No, there weren't. No, there was. No, that never happened. That never happened to you. You're lying right now."
And if it did, that's just because you're crazy, and that happened
that
before you
weed.
Smoked the joint as well.
That wasn't weed.
Okay? You need help. Professional help.
On that note.
And if you need help for your nutrition and supplement needs, head on over to Vegas Discount Nutrition. 5 locations around the valley. We'll be back to wrap up the weekend kickoff right after. Welcome back. Final go-around here. Weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, with 5 locations around the valley to serve all your nutrition and supplement needs. Ballpark Frank, Armando Vasquez, Phil Devine, and we're wrapping it up here. And March Madness going on. I know everybody's talking about the tournament, but
tonight we primarily
talk about the fight business.
We do, and tonight I know Armando's extremely excited. Triple G and Daniel Jacobs going down at the Madison Square Garden.
Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez is also fighting.
Also one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world.
Yes.
Extremely exciting to watch, as is Triple G and Jacobs. I mean, the story with Daniel Jacobs is absolutely inspiring. Came back from fighting a rare bone disease, cancer disease. And
you want to cheer for him real bad, but I think he bit a little too much on this fight.
Most people do when they sign up to face Triple G. But before that, and then also tonight, World Series of Fighting, we talked about. But Before that, UFC takes place today on Fight Pass. It's from the O2 Arena in London. It's a really good card. You've got some amazing fights there. First one, Jimmy Manoa against Corey Anderson. Jimmy Manoa, everyone called him the Mike Tyson of MMA years ago before he came into the UFC. He's coming off of that devastating knockout win over Ovince St. Preux. I mean, this guy's a finisher. 14 out of his 16 wins are by knockout. His only two losses to two of the best fighters in the division, and that's Anthony Johnson, who's going for his second title shot, and his other one, Alexander Gustafsson. So no joke in Manoa. And Corey Anderson is that guy. He's on the rise, winner of the Ultimate Fighter Season 19, coming off of a very big win over Sean O'Connell, who actually ended up retiring after that fight. So that I guess that just shows that, you know, the type of power and the type of strength that Corey Anderson has. Corey, though, is very... he's either a great wrestler or he's a horrible-looking striker at the same time. Now, he's got good boxing, but he tends to get a little wild, and that could be something very dangerous against Jimmy Manoa.
I was disappointed in his fight against Shogun. So it's like,
well, you know, that was a big fight for him, stepping up against a guy, and he didn't get knocked out. He lost the fight, but you know, that was a big step up in competition, and I think this is too. But here's the keys to this fight: is Manoa needs to keep this fight standing, and he needs to hopefully get Corey Anderson
to
be
impatient. Or else he's gonna get dropped.
Yeah, Corey Anderson needs to keep his distance for sure.
In reality, in your opinion, these guys on World Series of Fighting right now, are they basically auditioning, trying to get out there to have some other organization bid for them and try to get them someplace? Or are they hoping that, I mean, obviously they're hoping things work out at World Series of Fighting,
UFC used to have Sean Jordan.
Yeah, so some of these guys are former UFC fighters. And yeah, obviously, see, I'm not in that situation. I've never been where, you know, I made it to the place that I want to go. Well, actually, yes, I have. Mm-hmm. I did for years working in radio. I was working at satellite radio, working at Sirius, and the runaround, the lack of pay in radio. Frank, you know about that.
Oh yeah,
all of this, and it was very disheartening. And you know, the same thing for a fighter. You know, his goal is to make it to the UFC, gets to the UFC, and is not making the money. We just talked about Michael McDonald doesn't have enough money for a training camp. Oh. This is a guy that fought for the UFC title and doesn't have enough money for a training camp.
And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. When they hear the purses that these guys make or something like that, or they hear the fight bonus, they don't realize the training cost, the gym cost, the fact that you need another job or something. You have to work everything out.
Uncle Sam has to have his truck.
Yeah, it's not cheap to do that sort of stuff.
No, it
is not.
And
if you're going to travel and you want to bring anybody with you, a lot of times if you're a low-level fighter, they'll let you bring one guy or something. Anybody else, you're paying for all their expenses. It is not an easy way to make a living.
No, it is not an easy way to make a living. And in fact, you mentioned Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson on the card, too. Really looking forward to that. That fight is going to be so much fun. But you talk about the toll that this takes on you. Brad Pickett.
Who's been around a long time.
Yeah, Brad Pickett, 17-year career. Coming to a close today. He has already said he plans on retiring after this match. I can understand why. 3-7 in his last 10 fights. But, you know, this is one of those fights that writes itself. He was supposed to face a guy named Enrique Baronis. Baronis bowed out of the fight a week ago. Marlon Vera comes in on a week's notice. This guy, you know, young up-and-comer. But
real quick, 3 weeks from now. Big fight happening. AJ Styles and Shane McMahon. What do you think? What do you think?
I'm a little disappointed the way they're doing that, leading AJ Styles into WrestleMania against Shane McMahon. But you know what my biggest surprise of the week was? Finding out how much Shane McMahon makes with the WWE.
And
Frank,
we
listen
got
to
10
this.
Seconds
Frank,
left.
$2 million
that
a
is
year.
Wrap it up for the weekend kickoff. For Armando, for Phil, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the madness that is March. We'll talk to you next Saturday, weekend kickoff.